Mary Meadows, what's going on?
Hey, Monica, how are you?
I am wonderful, wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing great. It's always great to talk to you. And I'm just chilling over here in Hawaii, getting ready for the spring. You know, we start touring and then just finished with the new record.
Well, congratulations. Definitely congratulations on Soul Traveler. It is wonderful, wonderful record. Glad you're back. Glad to hear it.
Thank you so much. Well, you know, I really love this project, and I'm very proud of it.
Well, it you're such an eclectic artist. Like, you epitomize... you know, just the difference. And even with yourself, you know, from cycling to photography to not only, you know, being a musician, you just are, you know, you have a lot going on, very creative. So how did you culminate all of that into this album?
I think it's just that part of my brain that when, and it's funny because people ask me if I'm constantly writing music all the time, and I'm not. A lot of the other things that you just said, I kind of, more than another, and any given day I can be all over the place, and eclectic is the perfect word for me, because I mean I could be, you know, ride my bike, or I can be, you know, just, you know, sitting down watching the Atlanta Housewives with my girlfriend.
Right. Oh my, yeah. Ride the bike to Housewives.
You know what I mean? Or I could be working on a piece of art or something. So, you know, that part of my brain kind of clicks in, and then I'll get on the computer, or I'll have a moment. And then in writing this record, a lot of the credit goes to Carlo Pacey, my producer and co-writer. And he came up with a lot of the ideas for this record. The theme, it's kind of a world music kind of theme. You know, a little bit of, you know, kind of Latin flamenco, you know. And a lot of credit is due to him and his diligence to get me to think outside of even my box, which I'm not even sure what a box is.
You sound like me. I don't even own a box.
Yeah, I was a little reluctant to, you know, and I was a little recalcitrant to the ideas that he was throwing at me. And then so, you know, but that's part of the process. And
right.
For me, that worked because I like a challenge. And I was certainly challenged to, you know, work with him, and we had worked together, so it wasn't the first time, but to work with him to come up with this theme, which wasn't even readily available. It was something that kind of evolved and started as a bud and turned into a flower. And so that's what that's what Soul Traveler became. Didn't start out to be Soul Traveler, didn't start out to be anything other than this embryonic idea or ideas of music. I think that's the beauty of it, because here's what happened, and as this flower opened, we realized that we had this beautiful flower of work, and that's kind of how it got to be.
And would you consider it to be like the soundtrack, or as I like to call it, the backdrop to your life? What, you know, what the album, what it means, and each song, and each song and its meaning, and the album in its entirety. Would you say it could kind of be the backdrop or the theme music playing in the background to you, to your life right now?
Yeah, I like to say so. I mean, I like to think of myself as a forward-thinking human being, in the sense that humanity is important to me. Not the idea of humanity, but actual humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've had glimpses of you know, powerful people who have set trends for humanity, such as Martin Luther King and Gandhi and people like that, you know, come along, you know, become martyrs for the human race. Because oftentimes, when you become when you carry the torch for humanity and the betterment of the human race, somebody comes along and kills you and gets rid of you because they just can't, whatever their ideals don't work with your ideals.
Yes.
But I think most people realize that at this point in time, it's not a racial thing. It's not a border thing. It's a humanity thing. You know.
Right.
We've obviously come to, we've just done just about all we've had just all the wars we can have, all the fighting we can have, all the name calling we can do. So people are still throwing sticks and stones and calling each other names, then shame on them because they have not evolved.
Right.
Music has always been a platform, along with other art forms, dance and act, and you know, and the theater, has always been a platform for which we can make a statement, and that statement can be anything, because that's the beauty of the freedom of speech and the freedom of expression. I like to think that as this idea came to be, I've always been the kind of person coming from a multiracial household that's always, I've never sat in my house, you know, calling black and white.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been humanity from the perspective of my parents, and discipline, respect for your elders, and all those things, you know. And I'm all over the place because that's very important to me. It's very important to me that I wake up every day with a positive attitude based on the fact that, man, I'm A, lucky to be alive,
right,
B, to be a part of the human race, which has so afforded so many luxuries and so many opportunities because we have so many chances to get it right. And I don't buy into the idea that it's you know, we're done as a, you know, for want of a better word, a species, but I mean, music has always offered that release for us. And then it's an opportunity to look at a love song, a song about an idea, you know, it's a sad song, whatever that. Music has always been the place where people go to. As a musician, I've realized that I've touched a lot of people, and I continue to do so. So why not express, you know, what I'm trying to say musically? And in this particular case, this record, Soul Traveler, it's kind of my journey and my passion that I'm always going to look at humanity as being a very positive cause to fight for, because I don't believe that it's over for us. I don't think that we cannot solve the problems of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we can, with the right leadership, with the right people who would step into play, because the whole world's been based, at least in modern times, in our lifetime, has been based on greed. And the greed has gotten in the way of humanity. There have been wonderful people, and there continues to be wonderful people, and still we struggle with just a simple, you know, we struggle with a simple issues, and those issues are now almost digressing back to, you know, like even just racial stuff.
Right.
We are so far past all of that. Because if you can't think forward thinking today, we've got music from the old days that talk about this stuff, and we've got new music that you know, musicians that express what they have in their heart. And if people are not getting that, and I know they are because they do through the music, because we get it back.
Right.
I'm just saying that should transcend into, you know, even into politics, because what I say is that if you're going to be so ignorant to think that people are going to be so narrow-minded that they can understand a song, but they can't understand what everyday life is all about, I don't believe it.
Right.
Because it's already been proven. People cry sometimes when they hear a love song. You know?
Yes, definitely.
Without even knowing where it came from or who wrote it or who's playing it. So you can't tell me that people are not moved by emotion, pure emotion. And so that's the part that musicians play, as well as, I said, other artists. You know,
well,
I just happen to be a musician.
Well, I agree, and I applaud you for taking that stance and for standing on it firmly, and for being willing to spread that and hope and pray that somebody gets it, gets the message, because God knows if the world needs the message, the world needs the message now.
And you know, the funny part about it is, and it's funny you say that, because the ironic, I should say, part of that is behind closed doors. We all know that. we all know what's right and wrong. We're not that. We're way too advanced of a civilization not to know that. It's just that when behind closed doors, you then make a decision. Your decision is Am I going to do the right thing today? Am I going to do the wrong thing? It's just that simple.
Right.
That right thing and wrong thing you do can be any decision that you make. But we know better. We've known better for a long, long time as human beings. We know when we're downtrodden people. We know when we're ripping them off. We know when we're treating them kind. We know the rewards of kindness and blessings and sacrifice. We already know that. It's not a lesson that you need to teach over and over again. We already know it.
We know it. We just need to do it. Do better at it, huh? We need to put it into action.
We don't get it in our lifetime. That's all I'm saying.
Oh my goodness.
But the music is so pure because it doesn't come from any place. You cannot express yourself through the music and fake it. There's no such thing as faking your emotion when you play.
Right.
That's the intangible that people get when they hear your music and they go, wow, that really moved me. I was in Iraq and I had your music. I just had my first baby. Somebody in my family had just passed away and your music got me through. I didn't set out to do that. It just happened that way.
Right, right.
And that's, to me, the most rewarding part of what I do. I have no idea what effect it's going to have on anybody. It's just the purest thing that I can do. And if I do that with the conviction that I'm not trying to contrive a song, you know, and make it
mm-hmm.
you might like it. If I just do that in the most purest form and without thinking with reckless abandon, so to speak, well, my music is going to come through and so be it. And you may not like it, or you might love it, it might touch you, or you may not feel it at all. But that's not my problem.
Right.
My point is that if it does, I'm blessed, and hopefully you are as well.
And if it comes from a pure place, if it comes from a really pure place, the place I call sincerity, when music is, when it comes across and it's in that place, you know it. It's felt. You can't help but feel it. And it's funny because while I was listening to Soul Traveler, I've listened to it multiple times, and I just go from start to finish. And you know, the first you have to just, with any new music, you just want to just let me just absorb it and let me just take it in. And then I began to when I went back again, I said, okay, now stop just listening and now really listen, you know, really get it, get what he's saying. So that's what I always do. But I, you know, first time around, I always want to just hear it because I'm so excited to hear it. And then eventually I'll get to the point where I'm listening to hear. I want to hear what is being conveyed and if I can feel it. And it's funny because in each song, you know, and we'll get into those, but in each song, what you were trying to convey or put into that song, I got it. I got it. I said, whoa. And it's funny because I got it before I even knew what you were trying to convey.
That's cool.
Which means it came from that place and I got it. You know, it doesn't hurt that I'm listening with some ears of a vocalist and I'm, you know, musician, but still, I still got it. And your message, like I said, your message is just so, I was taken aback at the fact and the way that you said, you know what, this is what this is going to be about right here. And I'm going to take it.
Well, thank you.
Right. And so you did all these original songs and of course you added some, a very nice lineup of some fine artists to help you along, but they're all original tracks, they're all original songs. And
yes, no cover songs.
And every song has its meaning, like I said. And I know you work with Carlo on the album. And you guys, I got to tell you, my favorite song is Celebration Road. I just got to tell you, the first song, I was going back and forth between that and Andalusian Sunset, and Andalusian Sunset. But I said, okay, no, I think Celebration Road wins. And I don't know what it is about that song. It's something about that song that just, well, it's the perfect way to open up the album. That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just,
well, you know, I got a story to that song as well, because Najee and I have been friends since we first started recording.
Mm-hmm.
As young guys, when we first started in this business, he came out of the box first, and I was very jealous, you know, and I was envious and jealous that he was a good friend. But it motivated me to say to myself, I can do that. I was a side man. And I said, I think I have a message, because Grover Washington years before had said to me when I was in college, he had said, man, you have a really unique sound. And at that time, you know, I played a lot of Grover Washington type licks. Of course I did.
Mm-hmm, of course.
Grover Washington.
Yes.
And he's like, Marion, you don't need to play any of my licks anymore. He goes, you have your own sound. He goes, do that. And he goes, and you should be an artist. He says, because you have a message to pass on. And he goes, and you need to do that. And then Najee used to come up and watch my band play in Connecticut. He lived down in Queens, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he grew up in the same neighborhood with Lenny White and Marcus Miller and those
uh-huh.
amazing musicians from the same block. They were like little Motown down there, jazz and stuff. And I lived up in Connecticut. He used to come up and see my band play, and then he comes out with his first record, and it goes gold. And I was like, oh my God, I got to do this. I worked with Norman Connors at the time. All these years, Najee and I had never recorded together.
Right, that's crazy, and huh?
Never. And I said, man, I saw him, we were doing some gig together somewhere, and I said, Naj, man, we have to record together. I said, would you be willing to record on my record? And, you know, he said, sure. And I just thought he was just joking, you know, I mean, he doesn't really do that much.
Right,
and,
right.
He reached out to me, and he said, man, he goes, are we going to do this song together? And then I said, why do you ever do that? Because when I started recording, he was the first person to call. He was so gracious that he never even charged me to do the recording. He wanted a piece of my artwork, which was just, that meant a lot to me. And I sent it to him and signed it. And that was, so. And the celebration part of it is that I truly, truly, truly love the people I work with. My colleagues in this business, and I joke about Kenny G, and I book up Bonnie James and all those guys, and that's just because I'm jealous. But you know what? I absolutely admire these people because they stayed the course, they stayed in their lane, they've done great work. Whether you like their music or not, that's not the point.
Exactly.
As my colleagues, they're all... Most of my community, 99% of my community, are the most giving people I've ever met. They would do anything for you.
I believe it.
Excuse me. And that's been my credo since I started getting into this contemporary jazz family back in the day. I realized, man, what wonderful people. Every time we see each other, we're hugging each other. We're standing on side of the stage watching each other. When we played Tammy's Festival last year, I'm looking over on the side of the stage watching us play is Kirk and
Norman.
Vaughn and Norman Brown.
Yep.
Those
yep.
guys are staring at us playing. I'm going like, they don't need to, they could be in their dressing room just waiting to come on. They were standing on side of the stage, you know, showing us respect, you know, but even more so, they were just in admiration of what we were doing, as we did when they came on stage. And I mean, how could you pick a better job and be around more beautiful people than I get the opportunity to be with on a regular basis? I mean, it just absolutely, and to me, that's what the Celebration Road is all about. It just to me, it's like, it's been a wonderful road to travel with some wonderful people. And I truly do celebrate these people, because jazz musicians certainly don't get the kind of money and attention that Poppy would.
I agree.
Particularly looking for it, but I mean, it wouldn't hurt to get that kind of
exactly.
money. But we get it in return for A, our longevity in the business, and B, the love we have for one another. I mean, it is a true, true alumni of a fraternity of wonderful people. And I agree. I thought it was the most appropriate song to start the record with because that's how I truly feel about it.
And it feels good. I call it a feel-good song. It just feels good. It feels good. Yeah. And you mentioned Najee, and you on Magic Men, Najee and his flute. I said, oh my goodness. And you know what? For a lot of that song, Najee was, you just let him loose. You must have just said, here, go for it.
I did, absolutely. And then the same with Elon. When Elon played mm-hmm. back on Magic Men.
Yep.
And I told him to do the same thing because Elon and I have become really good friends in a short amount of time. I've only known Elon now for about, 4 or 5 years, I mean, really know him. I mm-hmm. knew about him coming up. But we've really become close over these last few years. And he was one of my first calls, And, I mean, not everybody says yes when you ask them to record. That's fine. I mean, that's just not the fit for them.
Right.
And I have no expectations other than the people that I know who did come on board.
Well, they did a fantastic job. Tell me, okay, Marion, tell me about Andalusian Sunset, because that was my second runner-up for my favorite song. So tell me about that. It features Elon. Tell me about that song.
Well, Andalusian Sunset is Andalusia is an area of Spain in southeastern Spain along the Mediterranean,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very beautiful area. I like to say I have a summer home there, but I don't. Bacalo has spent time there along with Juan Bienvenido, who is the Spanish guitarist who actually comes from Spain. And this song was actually originally written by those guys, and I put my two cents into it. I give most of the credit to them because when I first got the song, I felt like it needed a little release to it because it was interpreted from flamenco guitar to saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
But then I said to Carlo, no, let's leave Juan on the record so I can have an exchange with him. And so that was that's actually Juan instead of Elon, because Elon is actually...
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
I got to mix up. You're right.
So at the end of the song, as we get into the song, he takes this beautiful flamenco guitar solo, and then we kind of exchange, which to me, I mean, I always love Spanish acoustic guitar.
Oh, yes.
So this is like, this whole record is because Carlo's an amazing guitar player. He, for those who don't know him, he hails from Italy, and I mean, like, really, really comes from Italy, because when I'm over his house, he's making me the old-style espresso.
Oh, okay.
And the real pasta.
Okay. Oh, okie dokie. Yeah, okay. He's Italian.
He's not playing around. He's the real deal.
Well, it there is nothing like a Spanish acoustic guitar. It you're right. There's nothing, there's something magical about that sound. I don't know what it is, but there's something very, very magical about it. And that might be why I fell in love with the song. It too makes me feel a certain kind of way. I don't know what that is. And maybe I need to go to Spain and figure it out.
You might have to.
I'm going to go to my little house in Spain in the summer.
I love it.
That I don't have. Now the title track, Soul Traveler. Now, I know what my interpretation of Soul Traveler is. Of course, it can be a many, many, many different things because, a person could say, well, Soul Traveler could mean your soul is actually, you're interpreting your soul as you're traveling, or it could be you and the journey you're on. So tell me about that title track.
For me, I think, without thinking and thinking at the same time, I think for me it is exactly what you said. It's about the way your soul is on a journey, and that is the one constant that we have as human beings. We go through relationships, we go through relationships with ourselves that change over time. And we have to come to the realization that we are who we are, and at the end of the day, do I like who I am? And that's just talking as real as I can get, because you can have children, you can go in and out of marriages, siblings, parents, friends, and as your life goes on, you realize that the one constant is your soul, the part of you. And what I mean by your soul is that part of you that when you wake up in the morning, it gives you that foundation is the same person that I was when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'm always going to be a big kid because life to me is so worth laughing about and having a good time. Even when you can't have a good time, even when things are sad, the day for me is important that I wake up with a positive attitude as much as possible. Like I said, there are just some days when it's not going to be
right.
A positive day of your life. The constant is that you don't ever really second guess who you are if that person is the person that you really love, that thing about yourself that you love about you, which enables you now to be that person for the rest of your life. Because I think we struggle with who that person really is. And sometimes you can be really giving, and sometimes you might find yourself not so giving. And so somewhere in that middle is who you really are. It's like, this is who I am. My constant is my soul, and my soul is the thing that enables me to get up in the morning and feel that my life is worth something.
Exactly. True.
If I were to say what I struggled with, I would say I struggled in some relationships. Do I regret any of part of my life? No. Were they all perfect? No. Were there things that went bad? Yes. Were there things that went really good? Yes. So what does that leave me with? It still leaves me with the same person. So my dad was probably the finest example of a human being that I could possibly ever think of if I were to say who's the most influential person with
mm-hmm.
my father.
Right.
My mom is still here, so she's like a rock. You know, she's 92 years old. She's
wow.
amazing. My father was just an incredible role model. But he was a guy who got up every day, and my father, I can't remember a day that my dad didn't smile.
Wow.
And I know every day of his life was not a day that was worth smiling about. I know it wasn't. But my dad, around his children, would always crack a smile at some point in that day. And that's just the kind of person that he was. And I'm not saying that that's what I need to do. It's just what I do. Because of his spirit in me, he's just enabled me to be the most positive, powerful man that I can be for me.
Wow.
And that is, as a soul traveler, I've always been a gypsy. I've always
Marion.
I've just been a gypsy. I don't worry about I've never worried about what's gonna really particularly come next, because you don't really know what's going to come next.
No matter what we look, and no matter what we plan, right, Mary? I tell people we're not in control, actually, so we can plan how we want to. We don't know.
No. And do I have leaps of faith? Yes, I've done many times. Am I a daredevil? Yes, I am. But those are the things that I don't worry about. What I've worried about is, am I going to like me tomorrow when I wake up? So, and then by touching different people, meeting different people, and having, my mom said a really strange thing years ago. She goes, you know, in my generation and in your grandmother's generation, she goes, your generation can meet more people in 1 week than we could have met in our whole lifetime. And I said, what do you mean by that? She goes, I'm going to say it again. In 1 week, you can meet more people in your lifetime than in our generation, I mean, in a week, than we would meet in a lifetime. And I, when I got to think about that, I kind of understood what she was saying. And that's because we can be so all over the place with so much temptation and so much the grass is greener on the other side. And they were like so steadfast, you know, they stayed in the house with the car, with the, you know, the husband and the wife and the family. And, you know, we're often tempted that there's a better choice, you know. And she would always say, you know, and especially today's generation, we've got 8 iPods. And,
oh, my goodness.
Got 4 cars and, and, you know, and you got 3 homes. And she goes, that's, you know. And then you just don't give yourself a chance to even know who you are, you know. So like I said, she's 92. She's still here, and she's going strong.
I mean, that was deep because I didn't even. I was sitting here trying to figure out, what does she mean? Because I knew it had to be deep, So I knew I had to really think about it. So, but I did not in no way think it was what you just said it was. But now that you told me, I get it. I didn't get it before then.
I mean, she was basically saying, yeah, I can meet a lot of different people, but my most important part of my life was my children, my husband, and my life. And my little bubble that I lived in was the most important part of what my existence has always been all about. And she goes, and, you know, kind of like at the end of the day, this is still mom, this is still me, and that's you. And guess what? We haven't gone anywhere. We're still in the same place. No matter where we live, no matter,
right.
This is still mom, and you're still my son. And, you know, and like you say, then I finally got it. I got what she was really saying. You know, that it's like you can look, and it's right in front of you.
Right in front of you. There. Wow. I love wisdom. Oh, I love wisdom. Oh. Tell your mom I said thank you for that. I'm going to call it a pearl of wisdom. Tell your mom I said thank you for that pearl of wisdom, because that is so spot on. It's so spot on. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Well, speaking about humanity and you know, you how strongly you feel about humanity, that's your first single off of this CD. And clearly with that song, you desire to really touch the soul of your listener, because that is exactly what it does. I hear it. I've heard it. Well, I hear it every day, if not twice or 3 times a day on watercolors. And it reaches people. It is touching. And even though I love the song, like the song is like, you hear it and you turn the radio up, because it's like, yeah, this is nice. But you, because of how, what humanity means to you, I have to believe that your desire was to reach the soul of the listener when they listened to this song, and when they most importantly looked at the name, the title of the song.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I mean, right? Am I
absolutely? No, I mean, because that was the first thing we talked about going into our conversation.
Right.
The song, you know, befitting the title, and again. That's what I know to be true, and that's what I believe in. And I think, like you said before, once you believe in it, then how can it go wrong? You know,
totally.
The only variable would be if somebody feels it or not. But if you believe in it, how can you go wrong? It is what it is. And again, the humanity side of it is, what are we going to decide to do in our lifetime? Are we going to live a righteous life? Are we going to be a contributor to humanity? Or are we going to be a detriment to humanity? Which ultimately means you're a detriment to yourself. That you didn't do yourself justice in the short lifetime that you had. And you didn't enjoy the beautiful sunshine. And you didn't enjoy the music. And you never even heard the music playing because you didn't give yourself a chance. So, and you didn't compose the music because you talked about it. The metaphor is tomorrow I'm going to do this thing that I'm going to do. I'm going to write that song. You never wrote it. Shame on you.
Shame on you. Shame. And so many of us do get stuck in that spot, Marion. But
We all do. We're all guilty of that.
But I'm so glad you have the vessel and the talent to take that message and take your song whenever you decide to make it. When you decide to actually do it, you use it for just that cause, because what I'm seeing is throughout this entire album from start to finish, we've gone through almost half of it, and you're weaving a web, if you will, because from humanity and what you just said, you go into invisible, and which is, you know, your dedication to world peace. So you just are really, you know, you're just tying it all together. And I love the way you beautifully and delicately tied in these very tender yet real things that are vital to our existence. How you did it, and wait, I'm like, wait a minute, he went from humanity, okay, I know what that means, and now, you know, to invisible, and it's still along the same lines. And you featured the violinist Phil MacArthur, and I said, wow, okay, now he's talking about humanity, now he's talking about world, he's an advocate for world peace, which is humanity, and is that the force behind invisible?
Well, as I said before, I give praise to my good friend Carlo Panisi, because I was bringing this music home, and you know, my girlfriend was, and I was complaining about how I didn't particularly care for some of the music that he and I were coming up with, and I was really, really fighting him. in a lot of ways, and not understanding what he was trying to teach me, and I had to eventually admit that I was not particularly wrong, that I was in an uncomfortable place, and the uncomfortable place was uncertainty. For a brief moment, my uncertainty was based on the comfort zone by which Marion Meadows can easily do a slick funk record, playing the saxophone and get away with it. And I could have easily done that, and some romantic kind of ballads, and done a cover tune and called it, you know, Marion Meadows theme or whatever, and, you know, whatever, and come up with a slick title. But this guy forced me to look at myself, which is why I'm reiterating to you that this was not a perfect scientific experiment, you know, right, or endeavor. This evolved out of my behavior, which I would even say was almost adolescent, in the sense that I was so fighting the guitar approach to the song, and I was saying to my girlfriend, I said, you know, oh, I can't stand this song, and I'm not going to do this, and you know, blah 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 blah. And then she was like, honey, then don't do it. And then I was like, well, what do you mean, don't do it?
Oh my goodness!
I don't work like that. I gotta do this. When in fact she was probably telling me, you know, you need to just get in there and, you know, shut up and do some music. And
right.
Trying to figure out what the guy was saying. We then started to shape shift the whole idea, as I started to realize that this was, and he said to me, brother, you just don't see it yet. It's just invisible right now.
Wow.
It's right there.
Oh, I love it.
He goes, it's right there and you're just not seeing it. He goes, because he stood fast on, he said, I'm standing my ground. And you just need to put your twist on it, but it's right in front of you, Marion. He goes, you're just not seeing it. And he goes, and maybe some of the licks and stuff we're doing, you know, might even be a little hard. They might be a little difficult to play. They might be something that you normally don't play. He goes, but it's just invisible to you right now, but it's right there. And when he said that, all of a sudden, I came home and I said to her, I said, you know what? Man, this music is really starting to come along. And this was a true work in progress that progressed to this beautiful, as I said, this started out as this little green bud to this mm-hmm. flower.
Mm-hmm.
Invisible was our pivotal point at the part of the endeavor where we realized, and I should say I realized, that he was absolutely right. And that's where that was the next song that we recorded, and I just absolutely fell in love.
Well, you know what? That's funny. It's funny you were trying to throw a little tantrum, yet at the same time you you were throwing a tantrum and being resistant when like I said all along, you had no idea what was actually blooming in the background.
Yes.
Wow. And how it meant so much to, you know, it's so much of who you are, like maternal queen, you know, you all these things are who you represent, you know, and things you believe in, yet you were resisting them. That's what's very ironic.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's very ironic.
Which is, you know, why I say on the soul traveler part of it, it's like, and like I said, what my mom says, you know, it's the constant is like you might think you're being slick, but you ain't slick. there's not a slick side to life. I've learned what you think is slick is not at all. You know,
right.
If it's not grassroots and down to the nitty gritty and from your soul, then it's just not even worth putting down on paper or recording, because there is no slick.
And, right.
That's the, you know, anyway.
Well, I mean, and now I'm going to laugh at you because I'm like, okay, now this whole time he bucked. You know, he bucked the system, if you will, for lack of better terms. Yet he is unknowingly just probably marveling. You know, after the fact, you can marvel at, wow, ooh, you know, all these things just came to be, and I had no idea. But Dark Beauty, now that could have been a favorite of mine too. That actually could have been up in my top. That could have been in my top three, because it resonates. You know, a deep blueness, but which one could expect with the name, you know, because just Dark Beauty alone, you don't, you know, okay, you think, okay, Dark Beauty, and then you listen to it, and then it's just deep. I don't, there's no other word. I just can say deep. I don't have another word. That's all I can say. It's a deep, it takes you to it's a deep place.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Okay, well, I'm glad to know that I got that right, because that's what I felt.
And you're absolutely right, and I think you can take away from that any interpretation you like. I felt like there are times when we tend to vilify, you know, what's called the dark side or whatever, you know, and in fact, I think that's a beautiful side of life sometimes, because it's not always light and bright.
Yes,
know?
Yes.
There's beauty in, and I don't mean the negative dark side right. of life. I'm just saying, you know, that there's not, everything is always light and bright.
You're right.
And when we started recording the song, the typical thing for a saxophone player to do is to take a solo. And then they solo, and then they solo some more, and then they might give a solo to a guy. And there was a solo there at the end where Lamar Gaines, young keyboard player,
mm-hmm.
just a wonderful prodigy keyboardist who will be a big star one day. and Lamar Gaines, who is from Cleveland, and his brother Will Gaines played the bass. They're wonderful, wonderful two brothers who are just so gifted. And then he took a solo, and then we put a saxophone there, and I go, you know what? No. Let him have the solo.
Mm.
I don't care what the typical record does, because it's a saxophone player's record. Again, I mean, I got other saxophone players on a saxophone player's record.
Exactly, yeah.
Obviously, I'm already bucking the system. And then Dave, my manager, executive producer, is like, you need to take a solo. I go, no. Lamar needs to take the solo. And he takes the solo all the way out to the end, because that was what the song was all about. It was about that beautiful piano solo.
Right.
I told the story with the saxophone, but the bird that flew off in, that bird became Lamar. He was the guy who told the rest of that story. I was done. And so at the end, we joined each other right at the very end of that solo, and that picture was painted perfectly for me. And then I jumped up and then I said, that's it. That's what it was always supposed to be. And,
it's beautiful. But, speaking of, when you mentioned there's not always light. Of course, not always light. Which people always ask me, Monica, why is your blog titled Pink and Blue? Pink and Blue Notes. I said, well, because a friend once told me years ago in college, a really good friend of mine, he always called me Pink and Blue. And I never understood what that meant. I was like, whatever. And then one day I finally said, why? Why do you say that? He said, because you're a girly girl. You are definitely pink. When you're pink, you're pink. He said, but when you're blue, you're blue. And he said, you take blue to another level. He said, so as an adult, I was 17, 18 years old then, but as an adult, now I knew when I started writing, I knew immediately the first thing that came to mind was that's what it has to be, because that's who I am. That's what it is. And that's real, because there is not always, like I said, it's not always light. It's just not, pink and blue notes. There you go.
Yeah.
So, but on the lighter side, your pink was Life in the Clouds, because it's just what it sounds. You take it from the dark, from the darkness and dark beauty, if you will, to Life in the Clouds, which is very soft and it's airy, and it's just, it lightens things up coming off of dark beauty a little bit, on the album.
Well, that's absolutely right. Because I think there's, for me, as an artist, I don't always know where it's coming from. So, whatever it's just kind of my way of saying, whatever your spiritual conviction or your religious beliefs, whatever moves you to understand that there's a higher power outside of what we are as human beings, and even if you believe in aliens landing on the planet, the point is that there are just some things that you do are so intangible that you don't know how you did it, you don't know why you did it, you just did it, and those are those instances where you're just so blown away by something you've created or done or thought of or put into action. It's that intangible thing that makes us so much more than who we really are, without ever having to say, well, there's just one force that makes it all possible for everybody, because that gives us the opportunity to understand that the whole world is not one religion. It's not one belief. There is a higher energy out there that sustains us and the planet and the universe. And so, having said that, that's just the thing that we have to realize and live with. It's not going to be always something you can explain.
Right.
And for musicians, we have that kind of ability to go and just live in that world of And it's not a fantasy world. It's just a world outside of explanation. And so there are no rules there for us.
Right.
We have no rules. We can do whatever we want to do. We can put this note here, or we can put this chord here, and we can, and sometimes by accident, I like to say that everything we do is precise and intentional. It's not. Far from it.
Right, right.
So many things that we do as artists that are by accident, but probably not by accident, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
There was a divine order, and there was a place that was, I was told years ago by what did the lady tell me? she said that I was a channeler.
Oh, my goodness.
You channel. Yeah, she said, you have been a channeler since you were a child. I was at Deepak Chopra. That's where I was.
Okay.
I was at a Deepak Chopra conference, and a lady leaned over to me. She goes, you're a musician, right? And I go, yeah. And she goes, and I'm not saying that because you have dreadlocks. And she goes, I just happen to know that you're a musician, and you always channel music. And she goes, I'm going to tell you something that probably most people don't know about you. This is a person, I don't know this lady from Adam. I'm just, you
know, oh my goodness.
This is the first time. She's an older lady, and she says to me, she goes, ever since you've been a child, you've been able to play music, and you don't even know how you've been able to play. She goes, because you have been channeling a spiritual message of music through your body, your soul, ever since you were a baby, she said.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, did you, like, stop in your tracks and say, did your mouth fall open?
You know, I kind of got what she was saying in the sense that when I was first getting a record, I could play it. When I was growing up playing music, I never really practiced as much as my other friends did. I practiced to learn to play the instrument, but I kind of like really, I never really had to practice as much because I could kind of always play, you know?
Oh.
Without a specific thing to practice, but as far as playing the instrument, I could always. Music always came through me easily, and ideas, which why I migrated towards jazz as an improvisational tool, that always came easy to me. I was always able to kind of express what I wanted to say through the horn. So that part of it kind of made some sense to me, that other divine intervention of what allows me to do what I do, and, you know, and we bought our God-given gift, you know, that we're able to be, you know, some kids are young, amazing prodigies at 10 years old and 12 years old, and they can play, you know, these advanced classical, like Mozart at 10 wrote symphonies, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, we don't know where that's coming from. I mean, there's just no way you could even know where that's coming from, but it does. And it comes through you, and you're able to express that, and it doesn't always, now here's the thing that I've learned about being a musician, for me personally, it's not always the most important part of what I do.
Okay.
Some days I can take it or leave it. I mean, it's not, I mean, I could be off doing something else and be just as happy. You know, the music is a wonderful gift that I have, and I've been given this gift. It's not the most important thing in my day. It's just one of the many things that I do. And it happens to be a very important part of my existence and a wonderful part of my existence, but it's not the only thing that I get up thinking about. So
wow,
you know, it's just a wonderful blessing.
Well, yes, that's a blessing, and I think that must have been a very powerful moment for you to have someone just basically just tell you what it was and be quite accurate about it. Confirmation.
That would be like my mom, you know, would at the same time say, you know, something profound like that, and then in the next breath she would say, yeah, but now you better go take the garbage out of it.
Yes. Let me tell you, yeah. Honey, right. She's saying, let me tell you, yes, you are so and so. However, you're still my son, and you're still gonna go clean up your room right now.
Yeah. And I, I'll still jack you up like I did when I was a kid if you got out of hand.
Yes, please understand. I am always mama.
Because we didn't play back in those days.
I got you. And guess what? I'm a mama, and I don't play in 2015. I don't play.
Hello.
Don't play. Yeah, there will be no playing. There will be none of that. But now, Marion, tell me about your. How did you? Now, this is because I'm curious, really curious about this. How did you capture the essence of dream catchers, like actual dream catchers, in the song Dream Catchers? How did you? Was that another one of those things where you say, "Well, I can't." It just was. It just evolved. It just was.
You know, and I think it really did, because I don't think we'll ever know. I think you could be the most studied psychologist and foremost authority on the way the human brain works, mm-hmm. the alpha waves and all that stuff, but I just think at the end of the day, in the end of our existence, we'll never really know where dreams come from and why we have them. You know, because the dream itself is a unique thing to every individual. It's like no one has the same dream.
Right.
It's a very much a part of your life. Some people have reoccurring dreams, and you know, my girlfriend said I was cursing in my sleep. So, I mean, you know, and I ride my bike sometimes in my sleep. My feet are going.
Really?
You know, oh yeah, my feet will be pedaling.
That is interesting.
I just don't think we'll ever really know where dreams come from. But I do know that sometimes, that throughout my career as a musician, I've been influenced by some of my dreams and the ones that I could remember and that had that kind of effect on me. I'm in awe. I mean, I'm mesmerized, I should say, by the whole dream process and the fact that being a musician, oftentimes we dream in music. I mean, we have music in our heads and our dreams. I think it's a very cool part of life, to tell you the truth. But I'll never, ever be able to, and I don't think anybody will, figure out really, really, really where it comes from and how it all works. But I do know that it's a very profound part of who we all are, that in our dream state, we're in another part of our existence as human beings. We are in a whole nother place, as was explained to me by, I used to be with a group with Carlos Santana, Tree Chamoy, and they kind of describe dreams as your part of your life when if you go into deep sleep and your soul actually travels.
Right.
And it actually can leave your body and travel, and it lives in a suspended place that has no particular time or space or physical. There's no physicality to it. It's not being restricted to a body, anything physical. It's an entirely different state of consciousness and existence during our time as human beings that we struggle to explain in the first place, but we always talk about our dreams because it's always something that has such a profound effect to go, oh my God, I had this dream last night.
Exactly.
You know, I was this so-and-so, and then, you know, I was, and everything from romance to, you know, driving off a cliff.
Or losing your car. Look, or losing your car in the parking lot and not being able to find your car.
Losing your car in the parking lot, never being able to find it. And you got to go back to sleep to try to find your car. And we've all had these where you wake up and you're like my mom used to play the radio in the morning for school, and I'd be dreaming about a song and wake up and my mom's got it on the radio.
Yes.
The radio got into my dream while I was sleeping. So, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff. But it's always been a fascinating.
Well, the song is awesome, and you wrap up Soul Travel, and it's funny now because you keep talking about this little bud that has now blossomed, and I am sitting here listening to you tell me how it is unraveling and has become this beautiful blossom, yet not an intentional blossom. You know, it's amazing how it was very non-intentional, you know, just yet. Mm-hmm. If you look at it from a quote unquote structural, which, you know, music, I don't like to even put music in a box. I hate that. But if I'm looking at it song by song by song and what they mean, it's like, whoa, you really created something here that you didn't even, and maybe not, you fought it, first of all. You didn't really know what you were really, what it was going to be. It just evolved.
No intentions.
Right.
No particular intentions. You're absolutely right.
It's bananas. Because look at it. You go from, you have literally, it's been all about, it all has a, the bottom thing. I mean, it all, Soul Traveler, period, point blank. It all is all encompassing. Every single song. Every single song.
Thank you.
I mean, you did it. Even when you pumped it up with Vincent and Gala and on Real Time. And then I love the way you appropriately, it probably didn't mean to do this either, but how you appropriately titled the last song, Last Ticket to Somewhere. Because what a way to end. I mean, yeah. Okay, people, I've taken you on this, the land of Marion Meadows. This is, and guess what? I just had a vision. See, now I don't have visions, but I'm thinking about Michael Jackson's, what did they call his little, I just went blank. What did they call his, where he lived? It was called Never Never Land. Neverland, right?
The Never Never Land.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, right. You have just taken us through Marion's Neverland, except Marion's Neverland has a different name, but still, you have taken us on this journey. You've opened a door and you led us through to this park, you know, this open park that Marion's created. And you go on these, each one of these rides. Each song has been like a ride, if you will, or a tour you take. And oh my gosh, the very last one, you say, okay, now here's your last ticket to somewhere. I don't know where that is, but
it's like the old, you get a ticket. So, you know,
right.
So,
right. So. And I don't know where you're going now, but you got to get out of here. Cause this is a wrap. This is over. And so, you know, I like that, Marion. I loved it. I said, wow, how appropriately titled is this last song, Last Ticket to Somewhere? And you just wrap it all up. And beautifully, you did, Marion. I mean, beautifully, profoundly, with such impact. You know, I think you're the first person I've talked to. You're the first artist I talked to who really did not have a set mindset vision. Just flat out, you really just let it, whatever. And then
yeah.
You did.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I have had records where I've had to, and I'm going to be honest with you, I've had records where I've had to explain songs that had titles that I didn't even quite know where they kind of came from. And I'm not going to say they were contrived.
Right.
All I'm saying is that at this point in my career as a recording artist, I truly have a work that from start to finish has a story and a continuity, and it has ebb and flow, and it has, you know, there's lots of emotions in the story of this record, and the end product is something I'm very proud of. I'm very proud of the people I work with, and kind of a testimony to who I've become as a person. Like you said, without even trying, and I didn't even know it was going to be that, but I'm happy it did become that.
I'm happy too, and I know that 2015 is going to be big, big for Marion. What do you have in store other than letting the world hear Soul Traveler?
Well, I'm wrapping up a couple of shows with Paul Taylor, and then I'm
going my to buddy. That's my buddy.
Yeah, my buddy. and I'm going to get up and start recording. Start playing some Marion Meadows shows and getting this Soul Traveler tour set up. I'm going to probably do this for the next couple of years and get it going.
Well, do
and just have fun.
Well, that's what I want to hear. And I know you have a strong presence on social media, Marion. Now, and this is, I'm going to ask you, and like I ask everybody, and everybody, I put everybody on the spot, because I always say, okay, now I know I see you on Facebook. I know I see you here and there. So tell me what your website is. And I'll...
Oh,
We'll start with that.
It's just MarionMeadows.com.
Okay.
Just MarionMeadows.com.
And on Facebook, it's just...
Just Marion Facebook. You can go right to Marion Meadows. Facebook, Marion Meadows.
Yep. Okay, and Twitter?
Same thing. Twitter, Marion Meadows, / Marion Meadows.
Okay, now this is where I'm going to get you, because everybody gets mad at me, because they say, okay, I'm going to have to get on it, Monica. But you might surprise me and tell me you have Instagram, because most people, most artists, I'm making them get Instagram.
I do now. I'm not as active with that as right now, but I do now have an Instagram. I'm not.
And what is it?
I have so many things in the course of a day, but I did finally start an Instagram, so I'm going to get that going.
And it's under Marion Meadows as well?
Yes. What? I didn't realize that the LinkedIn thing is just more like for business people. So I did have one, but I'm not active on that because it's more of a business.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, you surprised me. So I can't pick on you and I can't fuss at you because you actually do have an Instagram. Whether, you know, it's hard to keep up for any human being to keep up with all this stuff. It's just too much stuff.
I need to put that on my website that I do have one, but I'm not as active on it. So when I finally get really, you know, active on the Instagram, because my girlfriend always says, you know, she makes me feel bad because she goes, you know, Paul Taylor's really, he's really good on his Facebook page. And makes me go over to do mine, you know?
You know, I love Paul. I love Paul. He is funny. Yeah. Does he have Instagram? Yeah, he does have Instagram, but he's not very, like, active on Instagram, but he has one, but he's not, like, on there all the time, so.
Okay.
Well, don't feel bad.
Okay. We'll be buddies.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Marion. You're welcome. Thank you for this, and I gotta tell you, just in talking to you and the wisdom you possess, thank you for sharing that, because you did, aside from what the album meant to me and what I got from it, hearing you talk about it takes it to a whole nother level. And just thank you for opening up even my mind a little bit more. Like I said, I don't have a box. I will never own a box. And so I don't have a problem thinking, you know, beyond what I know. So I appreciate that.
Anytime. And send me over a little message when, everything comes up on your site.
I definitely will.
Really appreciate that.
I will, Mary. You have a good day in Hawaii.
Have a good evening.
Okay, bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.